We find here in 1 Kings chapter 20. Now, again, I'm aware of the time, so I'm trying to shorten things up here. Because I'm going to talk fast, so you listen fast, all right? Now, in the context of the chapter, Ben-Hadad, bad guy, is the king of Syria, okay? Bad country. And here, Ahab is the king of Israel. And he's a bad guy, too. But Israel is God's chosen nation here. And so we find here that the Lord gets involved in a fight. Now, this battle was pretty lopsided. The children of Israel had one king, and they had 7,000 men in their army. 7,000. The Syrian army had, at the second time they came, they had 120,000 who got killed. Right? So 7,000. So they came once, and God said, I'm going to win this battle for you. And so a few people went out, and they won. They came back again a year later. They had over 120,000 people. And again, Israel had 7,000 soldiers. So they had 23 kings against one king, Ahab. So Ben-Hadad brought a group of 23 kings with him. 100,000 died the second time, and 20,000, a wall fell on them. It wasn't one of your walls, Brother Swanky. That wouldn't have fallen. I guarantee you that would have stayed right there. Now, so we find so good advertisement, right? Don't build these walls. Build mine. All right? Verse 28. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I deliver all this multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So now God got involved. It wasn't because Ahab was a good guy. It was because the Syrians said, well, God can help them fight their battles, but he's not God of the plains and the valleys. So we're going to fight them in a different topography, and we're going to beat them there. And God says, no, you know what? I'm taking this personal now. I'm going to defeat the Syrian army because you said that I'm not powerful in the valleys. And so God destroyed them. But King Ahab made the mistake of disobeying the Lord. So we find that Ahab has a couple ambassadors sent from Ben-Hadad. And so they're kind of feeling him out. And they say, hey, your brother, Ben-Hadad, you know, the good guy. And we're trying to save his life. And he goes, oh, yeah, my brother, Ben-Hadad. And so he goes and gets Ben-Hadad and tries to make a peace deal with Ben-Hadad, the bad king. And he says, hey, I'm going to let you live. And God says, no, you should have dispatched him as well. But now God sends a personal message to Ahab through a certain man of the sons of the prophet. So this prophet comes to his neighbor and he says, hey, I want to look like I've been out on the battlefield. I haven't been, but would you smite me? Would you beat me up? And the guy says, no, I'm not going to do it. And so he says, okay, since you didn't obey, a lion's going to eat you. So he leaves, and sure enough, a lion eats him. So he says to the second guy, hey, would you smite me? Would you beat me up? And maybe the guy didn't like him. He says, sure. Yeah, he's beating the guy, right? And so he's all bloody and bruised. And so then he walks over to King Ahab, and he has, you know, dust all over him. And he says this story. He says, hey, I was out here, and a guy came, and he brought a prisoner to me. And he said, now keep this prisoner, and we're just going to go on and keep on fighting. But you're the guy who's in charge of this man right here. He says, okay. And so maybe he had him zip tied, right? He zip ties him. And he goes back and he says, hey, well, I got busy here and there, and the man took off. He left. I lost my prisoner. He said, now the penalty is, did you see it there? Look at verse number 39. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, Thy servant went into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life. Hey, if you lose this prisoner, you're going to die, or you're going to be in prison yourself, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. We look at it and go, all right, that's no big deal, right? A diamond ring, a talent of silver. Okay, there's a couple of different measurements, but it's about 97 pounds of silver. It came out to 9 years' wages for a working man. Can you imagine taking 9 years of your current salary and having to pay this debt off? Okay, it was a big deal. This was really important. Hey, it's your life for his life. You're going to go sit in a brig somewhere. Now, you're going to be a prisoner of war, or maybe you're going to die, whatever that meant, right? You're going to die if this man escapes, or you're going to pay 9 years of wages. That's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. And then the prophet takes off his dirty garments, right, and his dust, And he looks at the king and he says, hey, you just put judgment on yourself. God wanted you to dispatch King Ben-Hadad and you didn't do it. You let him go. You got busy here and there. And so you just gave the judgment to me, but God's really given the judgment to you. Do you see the word picture? So here's the word picture that God used. The application, the message was for Ahab. The application is for us. You know what I see here? I see misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. He has this prisoner of war. He's charged to keep him safe. And then the Bible says, as thy servant himself was busy here and there, he was gone. Something became more important, and his life was now in jeopardy. And 9 years of working wages would be put in jeopardy. Have you ever gotten so distracted with something that seemed important only to miss out on the most important thing? Sometimes we focus on minor things and we miss the major ones. Sometimes we focus on the details and we forget the most important thing and we kind of miss that. In our society, sometimes you've seen it before, I've seen it before. We see a young couple and they spend a lavish amount of money on a wedding. And they spend an incredible amount of money on a honeymoon. Then in 6 months to a year, they end up divorced. You know, okay, so if you can afford it, knock yourself out, right? But there are people who they could have put a down payment on a house with the money that they spend on a wedding and a honeymoon. And they got busy here and there. They missed the main thing. The main thing is not the wedding. The main thing is the marriage. The main thing is the person that you're marrying. You know, are you compatible? You should figure that out already, right? The main thing is, are you going to have a strong marriage that serves the Lord? Are you going to be one flesh that is one purpose, and that is serving God? It wasn't intended. They just got busy here and there. And like this servant, they lost what they were supposed to be keeping. They didn't work on their marriage. Marriage is work. Look, if you think marriage is just something, you know, you want them, like the Indian wedding, right? Want them, got them, right? Want them, ug, got them, right? That's it. Can we say Indian? We can. We're not in Washington. We have to constantly work on that love for each other. They didn't make their priority of living for their spouse. You know, if you have that in your marriage, you can have a happy marriage. Living for your spouse. Well, living for the Lord, first of all, right? And then underneath that, living for your spouse. Now, let me give you several thoughts quickly. Number one, these next 5 weeks are going to demand your attention in many extra ways. All right, I've been pastoring our church for going on 31 years now. Boy, I feel old. I've seen this. It's not my first rodeo. I've seen this. You've seen this. All right. The next 5 weeks are going to demand your attention in many extra ways. How many of you are going to do extra things between now and January 1st? All right. I mean, extra things. Right. Just because it's that time of the year. It's that calendar. Right. You hate to flip that page this week. Right. How many are going to have unusual schedules between now and January 1st? All right. Yeah. OK. All of us. Right. Who's going to visit someone? Who's going to travel somewhere? OK. Who's going to have someone over? Okay, between now and January 1st, all right? Okay, we're going to travel, we're going to visit, right? We're going to go places. Who has a Christmas budget? Okay, yeah, then you know what happens? You go to Hobby Lobby, and you walk in, and they go, hey, 60% off, man, we went there the other day, and I mean, it was, hey, you want a shopping cart? I'm just going to get a few things, all right? There's like, oh, no, I'm going to get a shopping cart. Someone got a shopping cart. There's like, hey, you know what? Let me go get a second shopping cart, right? So we get a second. That stuff is all different, like, shapes and sizes, and it doesn't fit neatly, all right? All these crafts and things like this big long board sticking out. And 90% off the fall stuff. I mean, we got, you know, $2.90. You know, it's supposed to be $3.90, supposed to be $39. I mean, we get the second shopping cart, Emmanuel, we go around the corner, and then, I mean, everybody's like in one place, like vultures, you know, grabbing everything. So you just grab everything, you stick it in your cart, then you go around the corner and you edit it, right? And you're like, well, let's see. Now, okay, this one, yeah, like this one over here. See if there's any more of those. And somebody else doing the same thing. They're putting them back, right? And so you go, hey, that wasn't there before. You grab it, throw it in your car, right? And there goes your Christmas budget, right? You go, what happened to my Christmas budget? I overextended it. But, you know, that happens. So we say, you know, I think it's a good deal, so I'm going to buy it. And then, fellas, you go to Bass Pro Shop, right? Do I have a witness? All right. So I don't go there too often, maybe once or twice a year. So I go to Bass Pro Shop, right? And I bump into all kinds of people. I should go shopping more often. I bump into more church members or former church members. I'm going to have the shopping cart ministry. I have a great time. I get on in the market basket, and my wife says, how long are you going to be in a store this time? I don't know. It depends on how many people I meet, right? I go there, and it's like visiting. So I walk into Bass Pro Shop, and they have stuff on for $10. They don't have anything for $10 except that Christmas time. And so load up the cart, right? $10. Hey, they have stuff for $20. I don't even care if it fits me. $20, just throw it in the shopping cart, right? Hey, do you ever overspend on Christmas, right? Anybody ever overspend on Christmas? It's like overeating on Thanksgiving. You wake up in the morning, I am not going to overeat, right? Eat a high-protein breakfast, right? So I do, then I drive 2 hours. And then all that smells like, oh, it was. And then I get the plate, right? And you go through, and those plates are always too small, Brother Rick. They're like, you need two of them. You need a chauffeur. Here, you hold this plate. And you put that on there, and you put the turkey on there, and you put the stuffing on there, you put the green beans on there, you put the mashed potatoes on there, you dump gravy all over the whole thing, you put sweet potatoes on there, and you put squash. Hey, what are we having, a bathroom revival? Hang on, I got to go too. Let him know when he's done, okay? And we put, go ahead, go, hurry up, okay? You put, huh? All right, nobody else go, all right? Now, look, I'm 56 years old. I should have to go to the bathroom more than you, all right? You can hold it, all right? So you put the, where was I? Oh, squash, right? And then they have that, what's that nugget stuff on top of it? It's like walnuts? Pecans. Okay, don't let me cook. I put pecans on the squash, and they drizzle a lot of honey on there. And man, you take, and then you get that plate, and everybody's looking at you like, are you really going to eat all that? Absolutely. Methodically, you work your way across the plate, right? And man, it's like so, I feel like a butterball. And where's that little timer pops out of your belly button? Like, you hit the limit, you're all done. So then you get a second plate, right? And then they say, dessert! And you're like, oh, man, the tryptophan's kicking in. You're kind of seeing stars, right? And you always tell yourself, I'm not going to overeat on Thanksgiving. And you overeat on Thanksgiving. I'm not going to overspend on Christmas. But then you get this, hey, the kids will love it. So you put two of them in the cart, right? Hey, the grandkids need it, right? That's always an excuse. Get it for the grandkids. Or, hey, my worst thing is, I'm going to buy it for myself. Right? Am I the only one, right? I'm going to get that. It's cost a lot of money. That's okay. It's Christmas, right? Let me give you this thought. Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said that. I hate to drag him into the sermon, but he did say some things, didn't he? No, I don't either. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Keep your priorities on God. That never goes out of season. We are supposed to be instant in season, out of season, consistent, the same. In season, out of season. Keeping your priority on God never goes out of season. Keep the Lord first. Now, believe it or not, I know you're not going to believe this, right? So when I say it, go, no, all right? Some people are going to get so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday that they're going to neglect his personal love letter to them. No, can you believe that? They are. They're going to get so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday that they're going to neglect reading the love letter that Jesus wrote to us, that God wrote to us, the Bible. And they're going to get so busy caught up in celebrating his birthday that their Bible is going to sit on the shelf for days and for weeks, and they're not even going to pick it up. No, I know you can't believe that, right? That never happened to any of us, would it? I think it could happen real easy if we're not careful. We're going to get so busy taking care of everything that we have to do to celebrate Jesus' birthday, right? And we're going to stop reading our Bible consistently. And the devil's going to call time out on you. And in 6 weeks, you're going to be nowhere to be found for the cause of Christ. Now, look around. You look at the people you see here this morning. 6 weeks, some of us won't be here. 8 weeks, some of us won't be here. Next year, some of us won't be here. I'll meet you at Bass Pro Shop. I won't see you here. Right? I'll meet you at Market Basket. I'll be looking for you. I'll be trolling that cart. Oh, he's going to run me over. Hey, how come you haven't been to church, right? We have an accident on aisle four, right? It's okay. Now, it's important to read God's Word. It's important to read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Walk with God every day. Don't let the devil call time out these next 5 weeks. Some people are going to get so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday that they're not even going to talk to the Lord for days and for weeks. How do we talk to the Lord? Prayer. Can you imagine there'll be people that, I'm so busy getting ready for Jesus' birthday. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, who are you? I'm Jesus. Oh, well, I'll get back to you later. I'm celebrating your birthday. I'm busy right now. I can't talk to you. All right. Hey, I want to tell you, I can't listen to you either. All right. I'm busy celebrating your birthday. It's a little haphazard, isn't it? But it's going to happen. And it can happen to you and to me real easy if we're not careful. So we can't be so busy here and there that we neglect the most important thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, how important it is to pray. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says, in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. If the Son of God had to pray, then we ought to pray. The longest prayer in the Bible is Jesus talking in the garden to His Father. Some folks are going to get so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday that they're not going to be in the Lord's house because they don't have time. They have to be busy here and there celebrating Jesus' birthday, and unfortunately, they're not going to be in church. Let me read this to you. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. As we see the Lord's coming back is approaching nearer and nearer, we have to spend more time in the Lord's house with each other, exhorting one another, encouraging one another in church. But some people are going to get so busy. Hey, I don't have time for church. I'm busy celebrating Jesus' birthday, and I've got a party that night, and so I can't go to church. Well, that's ridiculous. You're busy here and there with misplaced priorities. Oh, I can't talk to my spouse because we're just married and we don't want to have a good relationship. And so you end up, look, people put their priorities in the wrong place. Look, we see millionaires these days, right? Football players, right? They can't even keep their marriage together. Got millions and millions. They can make more money in 5 minutes than you make in a lifetime, right? And their marriage is shot. Why? Misplaced priorities. You don't think it can happen to you? Money can't buy you love, right? I don't know who said that. Some verse in the Bible. And we find people so busy celebrating Jesus' birthday that, unfortunately, they're not going to read His love letter to them. They're not going to talk to Him. They're not going to be in His house because they're celebrating His birthday. Hey, you know, you're really not going to believe this next one. There are people that are actually going to rob God to pay for gifts for their family and friends while they're celebrating Jesus' birthday. Say no. No, I know. Can you believe that? I mean, it's incredible. But people stop tithing because they tithe to Santa Claus. And people stop tithing because they tithe to Visa and MasterCard. And it doesn't only happen in December. It happens in January when that bill comes in at 60,000% interest, right? And it happens in January and February when those minimum payments have to be made. And people are ripping off the Almighty to pay for the birthday of Jesus. I never did. I know you would never do that. Okay. But just take this message and give it to somebody that you know. All right. Because they could use it. No. And they pay for gifts for their family celebrating Jesus' birthday. They're not going to tithe. Hey, the missionaries, they're just going to have to figure it out because I'm celebrating Jesus' birthday. Well, didn't Jesus say go into all the world and preach the gospel? How are we supposed to do that? We're supposed to go ourselves. We're supposed to give to have others go. We're supposed to support them. We're supposed to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Who said that? Jesus said that. I think He'd rather have us do that than come up. I don't find anybody really celebrating His birthday in the Bible, except maybe the shepherds. All right, that's it. And that was on the day He was born. So if you're going to choose your priorities, let's keep them the right thing and not get busy here and there. Tell yourself, for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to get so busy that I'm not going to get so busy here and there that I neglect my focus on the Lord. So check that little box. Right? I've got one right here. I'm going to check that box. I'll make every effort. Okay, so it's not like a vow, right? Like if you don't make it and you get sick, right? Oh no, what happened? I'm going to make every effort. If you make every effort, I find out I get the things done that I have to make an effort to get done. I find out I ate breakfast this morning. That was important. I find out I got dressed this morning. That was important. You want me to see me here in my pajamas, would you? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? I found out. I found the important things and I got them done. Now think about eternity. We get so busy here and there. Where are we going to spend eternity? Now, I may be talking to a half a dozen people. I may be talking to a few. But where is your soul going to spend forever? I heard a financial program. I was tooling across the channel, picking up my daughter from work, I think it was. And they were talking about retirement planning. And they said, you know, most people, when they hit 50, they start thinking about it. Oh, yeah, I'm getting older, right? I've got to think about retirement planning. And it becomes an important thing at 50. And then the guy said, when they hit 60, it's a coronary, get a heart attack. Right? Oh, no, I'm 60. I haven't prepared for retirement. Well, you can still get a job, paper or plastic, right? That's okay. What am I going to do? I'm 60. I haven't prepared. I'm not ready. You know, the Bible says a lot of people do that with eternity. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We have one opportunity to prepare for eternity, and it's while we're alive. I went to see a man, we mentioned it on Tuesday, and he used to sit right here. And he's the same age as me. And he's in heaven today. Thank God you gave him the gospel. Thank God, Brother Eric, that you gave the gospel to him. He's in heaven today. But what about you? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready for your heart to stop beating? I'm going to a funeral for someone else this afternoon, a coworker for my daughter. She's young. Young. Died in her sleep. Well, I'll be ready when I hear the trumpet sound and I'll make sure I'm saved. You might die in your sleep. We focus on life. We get busy here and there, and we are not prepared for eternity. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's knowing for sure you're going to heaven. You have to understand that you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. The penalty for sin is the lake of fire. God cannot allow sin into heaven. Sin would pollute heaven and taint heaven and corrupt heaven. So hell is the punishment for those who sin and never have their sin paid for. Jesus Christ came down from heaven 2,000 years ago, never sinned one time, and he died in your place and in my place, and he died for the sins of the world. He took the sins of the world upon himself when he died, and he paid for our sins in full. Now God said he offers us a gift. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The way we go to heaven is we simply receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. And yet some people say, well, I'm busy here and there. I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And they don't understand. You know what? It's your life. It's your life for the life of a misplaced priority. And once you die, you can never come. Look, you're not going to come back. Look, regardless of what the Buddhists say, you're not going to come back as a bug. All right. Look, Buddha didn't get that way from being a vegetarian either. All right. I can tell you, I've been to the house and I've seen the oranges and, you know, I've probably eaten a few of those. He did not get that way from being a vegetarian. All right? Maybe he had a medical condition. OK, but you do not come back as a bug or a frog or a dog, even if you're really good, or a cat if you're really bad. You do not come back as somebody else, Mr. Rogers. You're not going to come back. Okay, you die and you're somewhere, and it's either heaven if you know Christ as your Savior, or it's in hell if you reject Christ as your Savior. Many reject Christ not because they're haters of God, not because they're evil people, but because they're just busy here and there, and they neglected it. And all of a sudden, look around like, oh, where'd my life go? I'm in forever. Take care of that before it's too late.